Well, welcome back to Word and Table, a weekly podcast about liturgy, sacrament, and the great tradition of Christian worship and why it is vital in our world today. I'm your host, Alex Wilkes, and I am here with Father Stephen Gauthier, canon theologian of the Diocese of the Upper Midwest and the Anglican Church in North America, here, as always, to answer all of your questions.
Good morning, Alex.
Good morning, Father Stephen. So today I wanted to talk about another sacramental, bowing. And this one is a little bit contentious, I guess. No one ever bowed to anything in the church that I grew up in. And in fact, to do so would have been thought really, really idolatrous, almost. Mm-hmm. Even, you know, bowing in front of a cross or something like that would really have caused quite a scene. So so I feel like this one, I'd really love to hear your perspective on when do we bow in services? Why do we bow? What's the purpose? What are people doing when they bow, and what are they not doing when they bow? But yeah, take it away.
Okay. Well, first of all, if we wanted to look for bowing being mentioned in the Bible specifically, we think of Philippians. In the second chapter of Philippians says, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. So it talks there about the name of Jesus bowing. So the bowing is simply a gesture of respect. It's really that simple. You know, people had it again in ancient times with matters of rank and like. People bowed simply as a sign of respect. Hmm. And that's really what it was. Well, we use it in the church in a variety of different reasons. For example, in the actual service, what we do with bowing is, in the liturgy, there's always something which is our focal point symbolizing Christ, and it changes during the liturgy. And we bow to that simply reminding us of the presence of Christ in the assembly. For example, in the opening procession, we have the cross. People bow to the cross because the cross at that point is the symbol of Christ among us in the liturgy. And that's, it switches off during the liturgy. You see, what you have at the beginning is the cross goes off, and then the altar now becomes the focus, is the symbol of Christ in the liturgy.
Okay, so it's almost like that in each part of service, there's a focal point.
There's a different focal point. Okay. For example, at the gospel book becomes the symbol of Christ.
Oh.
You know, so it's a special way of just, we honor it, you know, it goes, so like people, you know, people see a fly go by, they, you know, they doff their hat. It's that kind of thing. It's simply a sign because of what it stands for. It's not because of the cloth or the design per se. It's the flag. It's a symbol of something. So
sure.
We have symbols of Christ at different, that are treated as the focal point. And coming in, obviously, the cross coming in is a symbol of Christ. And so, like our doff our hats, bowing is simply a way, the same thing as doffing our hats.
So it's not like we're genuflecting to these kind of separate magic relics that we're bringing in. These are all things that point to Jesus. So
right,
we're all bowing to
Jesus. Signs of respect for Jesus. All the things we bow towards are symbols of Jesus.
Okay.
And so again, you know, again, it's no different, I think, than saluting the flag, or that's the idea. It's basically, how do we show respect for a symbol of Jesus? People bow to the altar when they first come to the altar party because that the altar itself becomes a symbol of Jesus.
Hmm.
People bow to the gospel book at the time we read the gospel in the congregation because that becomes the symbol of Jesus then. So, you know, basically that's the point that we have in bowing.
Yeah. Is that, by the way, talking about the symbols of Jesus really quick with the altar, is that why when in an Anglican service, when the priest or the deacon preaches, the pulpit is off to one side? It's not in the center. Is that out of some kind of deference for the symbol at the front of the altar?
Well, the Eucharist is both word and table, and if you had the pulpit out in front, it would take away, when we had the service of the table, it would be in the way. So we let each one be on its own. Traditionally, by the way, churches had two separate pulpits, if you want to put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Two different lecterns, one for the epistle and one for the gospel.
Oh.
So normally have, that's a more recent phenomenon to just have the one.
Okay, got it.
One other kind of bowing is interesting, and there's a history here. As the argument became, we believe that our Holy Eucharist, we actually, as using the words of Paul, as we say in the Articles of Religion, we participate in the body and blood of Christ. So questions had arisen as to when this, you know, at what point should we sort of see this as happening? It's sort
mm-hmm.
of people with theologians with a lot of extra time on their hands. For example, Middle Ages, I would argue at what point if the priest dropped dead, so to speak.
Okay.
I can't make it up. And so in the Roman Church, what came was the idea that it's at the words of institution. So what you see there is, if you go to Roman Catholic Church, there's genuflecting, there's bowing, you know, for the "this is my body," etc., and the same thing is for the chalice, for "this is my blood." In the Orthodox Church, the emphasis is always placed on the prayer called the Epiclesis: "Send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts to make them for us." Mm. And so that's the point where the reverencing comes in the Eastern Church, and they've always disagreed about that. So at the time of the Reformation with Cranmer, a beautiful solution is Cranmer thought that it was a seamless garment, so to speak. You know, it was one Eucharistic prayer. So that's why we will traditionally see in an Anglican service, you will see people bow at the end, at the great Amen. When okay. the prayer is over, people acknowledge what has been done. So again, you'll see a lot of people will bow their head, you know, at the time of at the institution. But the classic Anglican gesture is to bow at the great Amen, is, you know, the seamless seamless garment that is the Eucharistic prayer.
Oh, okay. And again, just out of respect for
simply respect.
The symbol of Christ.
It's the same reason why people would stand up when people play the national anthem.
Yeah. Can you, I know we've talked a little bit about this again, but before, this was such an issue in the churches that I came from. I feel like it's worth reemphasizing. What's the difference between a symbol of Christ, say with the gospel book or the cross up front, and a kind of idolatrous graven image that ought not to be reverenced?
Well, first of all, I think the big. Again, the real point is, what are we honoring? Again, I told you in an earlier episode, I said if we're subject to tree worship, then we really probably should not have Christmas trees.
Right.
But most of us don't. For example, some religious groups, for example, Jehovah's Witnesses, conscientiously object to saluting the flag or saying the Pledge of Allegiance. They feel that's idolatry. Most of us realize, well, gee, that's really not what we're doing. We're simply showing honor. So again, we look upon these are symbols. And just as we'd honor the flag, we honor them this way. Again, with Anglicans, all may, some should, none must. But our view is there's no idolatry. No one seriously is arguing that the symbols we're talking about here, that the altar or the gospel book, are God or have magical powers to them. They're simply a gospel book. They're simply a cross. But it's simply our way of honoring what they represent.
Yeah. Is it connected in any way to just how there was such a strong sense in Anglican services, especially that God was really, really present among his people by his Spirit, and that you'd want to acknowledge that in some way?
Right, that's right. It's a physical acknowledgement. You know, it makes it more powerful. It makes it real when we do something. Otherwise, we have the feeling of being spectators. Every time we get to do something, we get to participate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's some other things I should have mentioned with bowing, for example. There's a very old custom that that you'll see some people doing in an Anglican church is at the time in the creed where it says conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary.
Yeah.
At those words, it's traditional for very traditional Anglicans to bow. Also in the Gloria, when it talks about it, you know, it talks about Jesus as first mentioned in the Gloria. It talks about the name of Jesus. People traditionally would bow. Would be the custom.
Okay.
A lot of people don't do that now, but that's a traditional custom.
So really the thing tying all of this bowing together is Jesus. Mentions
right.
of Jesus, symbols of Jesus, places where we acknowledge Jesus' presence.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's not the thing itself as having something magical power. It's just something acknowledgement. Sort of like in Roman courtrooms. Is Roman courtrooms, part of them being official, was they had a portrait of the emperor. And not we're talking about the idolatrous cult of the emperors. They simply had one, just to simply say it was an official court.
Sure. kind of like here in Illinois, we have Jesse White's picture, the secretary of, is he Department of Transportation or something? But he's
in all of
the DMVs.
Yeah, right.
And,
right.
Yeah,
so.
I'm very well acquainted with him at this point.
But again, if people were talking about, again, if we were actually thinking of these things having powers, absolutely that'd be idolatrous. But again, if they point us, if they point us to God rather than pointing to themselves, you know, a way you could look at it is this: is we just recently we're recording this now shortly after Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Is why is Thanksgiving, you know, sometimes, you know, important? Why is it important? Paul said, here's what happens. He said, remember in the first chapter of Romans, they ended up worshiping the creature rather than the Creator. And so the real risk is, the real thing about creation, it always comes down to this, is God does these wonderful things for us. And we look at creation and these incredible things God has done. the proper response, we have two possible responses. Like a little kid on Christmas Day, is the little kid can either run away with the toy to play with it,
uh-huh.
or say, wait, this is great, and hug their mom and dad for, you know, for giving the present.
Like the leper that returns to Jesus.
That's right.
To...
And so it always comes down to that, frankly.
Yeah.
It really comes down to, do we allow, and this can be even our spiritual feelings, we call it, the saints call them consolations, is it really about God or is it about the good stuff God brings us? Like I used to, most of my career, I did a lot of traveling, and so you come home and you bring trinkets at the airport,
mm-hmm.
and the kids would get to expect them.
Yeah.
And sometimes if you're running late or something, you didn't have any time, you come through and you didn't have anything, and then the real point, is it really about me or the trinkets?
Right, right.
And that's a sort of magical moment. Even they're wondering, I wonder, would I say, yeah, this
yeah.
could have dad. And so the real problem with idolatry is it's things that actually, instead of reminding us of the Creator and giving thanks, actually turn us away from Him toward themselves. It's mm-hmm. always, it can be with anything.
Okay.
But that's the heart of idolatry. Instead of looking toward being reminded of the Creator and giving Him thanks, we actually turn away to run somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah. That makes complete sense. And just as a final thought, you know, for me, bowing became incredibly significant when I started to realize that, you know, for Anglicans that Jesus's real presence among his people really did change how I acted in service, really did change how I participated in service. You know, if the Lord is actually there, you know, then bowing felt very natural, you know, mm-hmm. knowing that, you know, I'm not bowing to just some book or just some piece of wood, but that the Lord's really there and I want to acknowledge him and acknowledge his presence in some way. It felt very right. It mm-hmm. Felt very meet. So, and if, you know, if anyone has any follow-up questions about bowing or that this particular sacramental, definitely email them to us at wordtablepodcast@gmail.com. Something you didn't hear us cover, but really at the end of the day, for me especially, just the transformative kind of moment for me with this particular sacramental was just the realization that Jesus is right there in the room with us, that he is present with us by his Spirit, and it changes your behavior, you know. Anyway, just a final thought.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Father Stephen. Thanks for another great episode. Thank you for listening to Word and Table. And we'll be back next week for more on liturgy, sacraments, and the great tradition of Christian worship. Thanks for listening.